You're listening to Bigfoot Live, starring Thomas Gardy, the world's most respected authority on the phenomena known as Bigfoot. Sit back and relax as we take you on a journey into the world of the unknown. Believer or skeptic, man or woman, you will be mesmerized by real people telling real descriptions about real encounters. Fasten your seatbelts, America. It's reality radio at its finest, and it starts now.
In 1967, my whole life changed. I saw the Roger Patterson film on the Johnny Carson show. And I gotta tell you, that's the day I thought I was gonna challenge the world and go out and find this thing.
Found like 12 tracks in the ground. I didn't want to believe it was Bigfoot.
There he is.
He's moving right now. He's moving right now. He's straight out of the tree line. He's moving to the right. See him? He's going to the right. He's going into the tree right now. Come here, look.
I'm Bob Hallmark, and I'm a reporter with ABC Television in Tyler, Longview. It's been my pleasure to be with Tom Scotty and his team tonight, and I have to admit that I was skeptical. When I came out here, I thought we, at this time in our history, had the technology to be able to find one of these things, if it existed. But after seeing the footprints and the dig marks in the sand and what I believe to be a very large creature running at a high rate of speed through the woods, I'm convinced I'm going to have to change my opinion on Bigfoot.
I turned, I saw this thing standing by my gator.
When I saw the actual footprints, I realized they were something special and probably Sasquatch.
When I landed on the ground, I was kind of thinking, this ain't no human being. It's got to be something else.
www.searchingforbigfoot.com.
Alice wants what you think I've seen. Something strange, you know. Sasquatch sitting on the side of his knee, and he was talking to Moxie Joe. Well, the party they're gonna have out in the St. John's Walls. Sasquatch doing a brand new dance, and he called it the Bigfoot Stomp.
Well, good evening, ladies and gentlemen. This is Marco Bill on the Bigfoot Live broadcast. And folks, it's that time of the week again. It's time for the Wednesday evening Bigfoot Live radio show with our host, Mr. Tom Biscardi. And now, everybody, the man who put the big back into Bigfoot, our host and renowned Bigfoot researcher, Mr. Tom Biscardi. Good evening, Tom. How are you tonight?
Well, good evening, everybody. Marco Bill here. How are you doing? Well, Tom is not able to get into the phone conference again because of the conditions of the cell phone stuff. He wasn't able to maintain a connection tonight, so I just took the show, and we'll go on. We've got some really interesting guests on tonight, and I'd like to thank all the people out there for your emails, for your phone calls, and thanks for all the well wishes and everything else that you send us. There's a lot of things going on right now, and we've had quite a few calls on the Bigfoot Hotline. That's been pretty busy. And there's just too many things going on. Sometimes it's hard to keep up with everything. Many of you have called. I was out of service for about 4 or 5 days last week, and I couldn't get the hotline. So I want to apologize to those people. I have been calling the numbers back on the hotline. I do get a recording of the numbers, and And I also get an email with the numbers on it and everything, so I don't lose them. So I have been recalling those numbers, trying to contact you. We normally don't have anybody wait for more than, you know, a call or so before we are able to answer their call or call them back right away, usually within minutes. But the past week there, that I was kind of ill, and I was in the hospital for a few times there, and I couldn't access the hotline. But anyway, I appreciate everything, and appreciate all the people out there, all our friends and family. Keep on coming with us, and we're enjoying the new year together. Tonight, we're going to, our first guest didn't show up yet, but what we're going to do is we're going to go to our second guest, and it's Robert from Pennsylvania, and he's got some unique things that's happened to him. Robert, how are you tonight, my friend?
Good. How are you?
I'm doing fine. Well, Robert, you've had quite a bit of activity going on in and around your home there. Why don't you tell us a little bit about the whole thing from start to finish? What happened?
Well, from the start, I know that when I first seen the impressions, the prints in my yard, I was out standing on the back porch behind the garage, and let me just kind of like, that was Wednesday night when I seen these. Monday, I was standing in the same spot, looking out the back there, doing the same thing. I smoked. I was standing there smoking a cigarette, and we were looking at, me and my wife, we were looking at the frozen rain on top of the snow, and it glistened. It looked real pretty, and I was commenting on her, telling her how pretty it looked. Well, Tuesday, I didn't come home until late. I drive a truck. I had problems that day because the temperature got down to negative 24, and I had problems with my fuel filter, and I had that delayed me about 3 hours that day, so I didn't go out there. But Wednesday night, I went out there to smoke. I come home at a normal time. At this time, I was doing runs, and I was home and back every night. And as I looked out, I seen impressions in the snow. To me, it clearly looked like something big had walked through the yard. I mean, I knew it was not normal to see that. So I went in the house, grabbed a flashlight, and I walked out, and I put it, you know, looked at the track in the snow, and that's when I seen the toe prints, and I emailed you the picture that you can see there. And I just got shocked. Like, I don't want to say scared, but I knew what I was looking at. To me, I knew right away I was thinking Bigfoot. So I went in and told my wife, you know, hey, there's something crazy out there. My in-laws live with us. So I told my father, and I said, hey, let's go out here and look at this thing. I want you to see this. Tell me what you think. So he went out, and we went out with the spotlights and looked, and we were just in shock. Like, wow. And you got to remember, it was, you know, negative 4 degrees when we think that these prints were made. And even that, the night that we were out there, it was, you know, freezing, so it was cold out, and the snow was still there. And the reason why it's patchy in the snow, too, is because before it got cold that Monday morning, it started to rain and wash some of that snow out before that cold air come through there that night and dropped everything below freezing. So we knew that these tracks were no more than 2 days old. Mm-hmm. So we went out and documented this. I mean, I was pretty scared. I went and I told my wife, I was like, who do we tell about this? You know, do I call the cops? And they're like, no, don't do that, because what are they going to do? So, I mean, I was just, like, in shock. I couldn't believe this thing walked through my backyard. So when we seen the tracks, too, we went to the edge of the property and where it entered the property, and we looked, but it was patchy snow and grass. So the thing obviously tried to stay out of the snow. And you can see in that video, too, the steps were kind of short. So it's dark right there at nighttime. I mean, it's pitch black. I couldn't see nothing standing there. A person, nothing. It's that black at nighttime there. So I'm thinking it kind of just walked up. It was probably just checking the area out. And for some reason, because those strides go into 6.5 foot strides, it ran behind the house, you know, to clear the back of the house. And then we got a shed over there. and it ran in a direction to the shed, so I'm thinking it ran over there for cover. Plus, the direction it was running, there's nothing but fields out there, so it's pitch black. And if he would have went around the front of the house, it's lit up. Plus, there's some houses, you know, maybe a couple hundred yards away, and it was lit up all there. So this thing obviously wanted to stay in the dark. So he had no other choice but to go to the backyard there. I think it was wanting to get into that dark. So anyways, we documented this. That was Wednesday. So Thursday night, I even called the game commission. I told my wife, you know, to give me the number, and this was like, I don't know, maybe 7 o'clock at night, and somebody answered the phone. It was somebody on call, so I actually talked to the person, and I was telling him, trying to describe the footprints to him, and he told me it don't sound like nothing that I know of, and then he even said, well, maybe your neighbors are playing a hoax. I don't think so. You can see the footprints. I mean, that ain't a hoax. I don't know anybody would hoax toe prints like that. So I'm thinking, what do I do now? I contacted some other people. I've had a couple other organizations come out and look at it. And one of them right now, I guess they're trying to scientifically rule out any known animal. I guess that's the way they do it. They say it's this, and if they can't prove it, they go to the next one until the results are inconclusive. And then Monday, that was Wednesday night. Well, Monday, because, I mean, I was pretty freaked out by this. So, and then watching, you know, the shows, I've seen Tom Biscardi's documentary. So, but I just kind of had a feeling maybe it's coming back around because there's a pond, maybe 100 yards, maybe a little bit further down the side of the hill. Are you there? Okay. So I had my wife buy me a million power, those candle power spotlights. So I go out onto my back porch, and down the hill in about 300 yards, there's an open field coming off the side of the mountain. You know, it's farming. Farm fields, it's mountaineering farm fields, but anyways, so I hit the light, and I had the white light. I also got a red cover too, but I didn't use that. I used the white light. I hit it down into that field, and I just seen eyes shining. Eyes were wide, so I was like, "What the heck?" And when I hit this thing with the light, it stopped. It froze. I mean, I froze it. It looked up at the light. I'm gonna say me being the light, but I hit it with the light. It looked up at me. And then you could see it turned away. It looked over towards the direction of the pond. And then it looked back up at me, and it stood there, and it kept looking at me. It didn't take its eyes off me. This was probably maybe 10 seconds. I just stopped it in the track. And then the thing started moving fast towards the light. It kept looking at the light, and it was moving fast. And, you know, you could, I guess if it was a dog or a deer, you would see, you know, maybe motion of the light. This thing was a steady, it was just hauling butt towards the light. So it scared me. So I went in the house, and I told my father, I said, I just seen something down there, eyes shine. And I said, I'm not lying, let's go look. So he's got a big spotlight too, so we went down there, we're shining. Couldn't see nothing. I said, Tom, I said, I'm telling you, I seen this thing. Let's get in the SUV and let's drive down there. So we drove down there, and there's a little sided road down there going towards that pond. And as soon as I got out, I hit that spotlight in the, which was probably, I don't know, 75, 100 yards away. But I hit that spotlight in those reeds, and there the eyes were in the reeds. And I've never been down there. I didn't know how tall the reeds were, but I hit that spotlight in there, and you could see the eyes, and it was in the middle of it. And then he got out, and he's like, no, I don't see it. Okay, yeah, I see it now. And then that thing dropped. It went low, and I guess there's like a little creek thing that runs into that. But it stayed in there, and then it would like pop up, look, go back over by the reeds, and pop back up, look. And then at one point in that video, because I had my iPhone and I was trying to record it, but my iPhone kept saying, or it did that one time, it said it stopped and said it didn't have enough, it had two, or not enough memory to keep recording. And at this time, I didn't have time to stop, start deleting stuff. I wanted to see where this thing's going, because at one point, too, it looked like it was maybe coming towards us. But then we lost it, it was to our right, and it was moving pretty quick. It was to our right, we seen it. My father-in-law, he's all worried about it, you know, coming around our backside. But then I caught it back over closer to the reeds, and it was looking up, and the eyes were red, and they were clearly wide apart. And I mean, you could tell it wasn't nothing we ever seen. I've seen there's deer all around here, there's fox, and I knew my gut feeling was saying this is something, you know, this is something that ain't normal. Mm-hmm. But when it was looking too, you could see the eyes blink. They blink, you know, kind of like a real slow blink and it opened. So we had seen enough at this point, but when we were getting ready to leave too, I hit that spotlight back down there. And it was, because of the white light and as far as it was, you couldn't get no definition. You couldn't see a silhouette. But I'm thinking it might have had a baby or something, because there was definitely something belly crawling down there. But we were like, we had enough. This ain't nothing we need to be messing with. Let's get out of here.
Yeah, well, I don't blame you.
Yeah. So I don't know if it had a something smaller with it. But it wasn't, what we seen wasn't, I mean, I just caught like a quick glimpse of it. It might have been it even, but because of the light, we just couldn't, even when I hit it with that spotlight, it could have been an elephant. It could have been a cat. It could have been a person there. You could not get you couldn't tell what it was. All you could see was the eye shine because of the distance. You know what I mean? And even at that thing, you could see the two eyes. They were wide apart. And my father-in-law is a very intellect man. He's got two doctorates. He's retired. He was scared. I mean, he was scared. He come
well,
in, my wife
wrong.
Said
I'll
he
tell
was
you what,
white.
Robert, there's nothing wrong with being scared. Let me tell you, first thing, when you got a creature that's about 8-9 foot tall, and you know that, I mean, I don't know if, you know, most people don't know how strong just a small chimpanzee or small gorilla.
Right.
My God, I mean, a tremendous amount of power. And if you can
imagine
a creature that
big, yeah, go ahead.
Do it, yeah.
First yeah, but
all,
I got
I
on
like
the
to
internet.
Say one thing. You know, for all the listeners out there, you know, Robert sent us some pictures and some videos. And they're posted on the website. Go to www.bigfootlive.com and go to what's on this week. And under the guest listing for Robert from Pennsylvania, you're going to see links. And those links, there's a slideshow and two videos. And they're very, very good. He did a very good job of trying to document this. And you got to understand, it's at night.
And he did
a very good job of getting some good videos of the tracks. And I want to tell you that 6.5 foot span of that between the footprints of the creature is a pretty big stride.
But that was when he come across the back of the house. When it first comes up, where out of the grass into the snow, you can, I mean, even at my stride, I looked at it, and I really kind of got a, and I'm 6'3", and I had to kind of stretch out to match his little steps, because like I said, it almost seemed like he, and it's dark over there, it almost seems like he was, and we got some tall to line the side of the property. We got some tall evervitae trees, I guess they are, and they're probably, I don't know, 7 foot.
Mm-hmm.
But to me, it's almost like he might have crept up and was looking, like maybe he was curious, or like I say, maybe he was trying to get up into that dark towards the hills. But he was clearly, you can see, it didn't start off running. It's walking, and you can see on the video, if you look, you know, you could see the steps. And those steps were still in the snow because on the side of that little embankment there, the sun don't hit it. So that snow will stay there. While everything else is melted, that snow will be the last to melt there. But when he come into that yard, that's when those strides picked up. And that's when I was like, this is definitely something big. And then, but then I was looking too there. I guess there's a formula. I was looking on the internet trying to figure out the steps, trying to really, you know, trying to rule out that maybe it was a Bigfoot, trying to, you know, get wrap my mind around it. But I couldn't find nothing. And, but there's a guy on there, I guess there's some kind of formula that you can do with that. I guess he tells you about like the foot and you can figure out the height. You take the length of the footprint, then you multiply it by 6.8. Then you divide it by 12, gives you the height in feet. And by those 16.5-inch footsteps, this thing would be like 9.5 foot tall. And then he says it ain't accurate. They're just trying to use like a general rule. But still, it would at least be, I would say, 8.5, 9.5 foot tall, maybe taller. I don't know. But it's big.
Oh, yeah. Well,
and my question is,
we've seen footprints as much as the largest one I've seen is 23 inches. That's
wow.
Big. Yeah, I know. The guy that had a size 15 flip flop on, and it made it look like a baby shoe.
Yeah, but like I told you, I mean, because I know Tom. That's, you know, this is what he does for a living.
Yeah.
And I needed to know what it was, because like I say, I went out and I bought. In fact, that, you know, I told you when I was talking to you the other day, but I got two game cameras now I'm going to put on the property. I even bought a night vision goggles. I want to try to record down towards that pond. But even if I did get it, because, like I say, I told you before, I'm not doing this for any recognition. I don't want my name, you know, I don't want my identity known. I'd rather have somebody that studied it for a long time. Maybe it can possibly, you know, really document this thing. Because even if I had the proof, you know, there's always the doubters. Oh, it's somebody in a suit, or oh, that's no, this is real. That's what I'm trying to say. This is real. This is reality.
Well,
and I know
you,
that,
Robert, we'd like to welcome you to our Bigfoot family, and I really appreciate your sharing with us tonight. Also, you know, we have about a 5 or 10 minute period after at the end of the show for all the guests to get together and talk about it. And we have a lot of other guests on the show tonight. Some have been with us for years. Some of them are new, just like you. And
right.
There may be some good questions that you may have to ask them or want to ask people that are out there. We have a few researchers on here. And then, they may want to ask you a couple questions about some things that you saw.
Sure, but I did want to say, too, the one association who I told you last night who's actually, you know, doing their investigation on this, too, they did say that this is a hot spot area that I'm in.
Sure.
Because of the mountain range that I live by.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm still kind of in shock, you know what I mean? Like I say, knowing something that big is walking out there. And I can see how it's not getting caught, because I've seen that it was smart, you know what I mean? It wants to stay in cover. It's not going to go out in the open, other than in the dark.
You know, Robert, one of the other things we've learned and found out as well, not necessarily know, but we think, based on our experience with these game cameras, a lot of the game cameras are infrared, and we think that they have a you know, that reddish. The only creature that I know of that has a reddish, orangish, reddish eye.
That's what it was. My father-in-law described it as almost being like an orangish. I've seen red. He's seen orange.
Yeah, yeah. But, I mean, that's the only creature that I'm aware of. Most all other creatures that were, I mean, deer, I mean, anything. I mean, they're a green or yellow kind of a, you know, green or a yellow shine in the night. And what I believe is the infrared, you know, these creatures are pretty much, you know, are in the dark. In other words, they go in the dark. That's when they go feed, and that's when they're up and around most of the time.
But the time that's happened, though, the time that's happened when I hit it with the light was at 7:30, but it was pitch black, and where he was, it was pitch black. Mm-hmm. But here's the thing, at that side of the road, there was a road there, too.
Sure.
And when I hit it with that light, there was a car. Of course, I don't think the car can see, but there was a car behind it, maybe like 100 feet. That thing didn't even care about that car. It didn't even turn back and look. It didn't care.
Yeah.
Because that's what I'm saying. It moves. I'm thinking it's moving in the night. It knows things ain't seeing it, so it's comfortable. It's gotten comfortable.
Yeah.
But
well,
like I say, that was just dumb.
Yeah,
that was dumb luck that I hit it with that light.
Well, no, you did a pretty good job. I think you did a really good job on your pictures. A lot of good job on your video. I applaud you. You know, very few people can. Come up, and you had some really good pictures for the night and all the other stuff that you're going against.
Well,
I
want to
thank you for coming on tonight and sharing with us. And I will keep in contact with you, but stay on the show until the end here, and we're going to have an open discussion, and we'll have an open discussion with everyone else. So
okay.
I want to thank you, Robert. I appreciate all your efforts and for sharing with us.
Okay, thank you.
Well, ladies and gentlemen, that was Robert from Pennsylvania, and we're going to go now to a commercial, and we'll be right back, and then We're going to talk with Christian, I think.
In August 2008, there was an announcement that was heard around the globe. A promise of the end to an age-long mystery and deception that played out on the world stage. Anatomy of a Bigfoot Hoax. Now, for the first time ever, see with your own eyes and hear the true behind-the-scenes story of the hoax that gripped the world. Featuring original, never-before-seen footage. Available now at searchingforbigfoot.com.
One, they're very sick people, but you know what bothers me more than anything, Megan? These guys were the law.
And we're back. We're back, ladies and gentlemen. Well, let's go out here and let's take a look and let's see if Christian. Christian, how are you tonight, my friend?
Good.
Hey, we had one guest that didn't show up, and so what we'd like to do is, if you don't mind, would you like to come on and talk about what the latest thing that you're doing is?
Yeah.
Yeah, go ahead. Tell us what's going on.
Since
oh, wait, let me explain to everybody. Christian, you're what, 12 years old?
13.
Oh, 13 years old now, yes. Christian's 13 years old, and he had some really exciting experiences here about a month or so ago, a couple months ago. And he's been with us ever since. So go ahead, Christian, let us know what's going on.
Since Saturday, every time I've been outside, I've been seeing this big ape creature here. And like in Pennsylvania, normally won't see them because right where I live is all open spaces. There's barely any woods for them to hide where I'm at.
Mm-hmm.
And I've been seeing this creature in the woods like keep on staring at me since Saturday.
Now, and before it was between, like you were between your grandmother's house and your house, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, and same place?
Yeah.
Is it still the same kind of creature that you see?
No, it's different. I saw like a little, the other day, or like, one time I saw this little bee, like this baby thing walking down up the hill and walking on 2 feet.
How big was it about?
Probably if you put made my dog stand up. It looks like a German, it's as tall as a German Shepherd, my dog. And
yeah.
It's probably as tall as it if it was standing up my dog.
Like 2 feet?
Yeah.
Mhm. And it walks on two legs?
Yeah.
Mhm. We've had a lot of reports on a creature like that. There's small creatures and large creatures.
And then, like, last month, I think, in December.
Yeah.
I looked outside. There was this gigantic footprint outside by my grandma's sidewalk, like something was walking along there. It went straight from her by her sidewalk, and then it went up. And then I took some pictures, and I seen it through my grandma's green window, storm door. And there's like this green. I took a picture and up through the woods a couple, and it showed this creature just staring down at me when I was taking a picture. I just, as soon as I zoomed in, I noticed it.
Wow.
It looked like it was running.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, now, have you been as close to it as you were when your first encounter?
Probably I was a little bit closer to it because my house now, where my woods are like a little bit of woods where I'm at, is like 2 feet away where my door is.
Mm-hmm. Wow, so you've got some activity going on still at your house there.
Yeah. And I keep, and like when we were talking, I heard like this thing. I think there's like this thing walking outside, and I heard a stomp.
Oh, a stomp? Like a stomp on the ground?
Yeah, and it doesn't sound like any crash because there's a whole bunch of snow here and the roads are icy.
Yeah. Well, that's pretty good, Christian. Are you gonna stick around for the end of the show?
Probably if I don't fall asleep because I'm getting tired.
Yeah, I understand. Okay, well, I want to thank you for coming on and sharing with us tonight. Thanks for the call. And as always, you're always welcome to come on the show. I want to mute you out, and then at the end of the show there, we'll open it up for everyone to discussion. Maybe some, a lot of people have been asking about you the last couple months there. Get back and forth, okay?
Okay.
Okay, here we go. Ladies and gentlemen, that was Christian, and he's been with us now for a couple of months, and he's doing pretty good. Let's see, I lost track of my little thing here. We're going to go out here, and we're going to talk with Richard from New York. Richard, how are you?
I'm fine, Bill. Thank you.
Well, Richard, I had your... we had a guy from New York up there, and his name was George. And it started out about a week ago, six days ago. He he found some footprints in the snow, and he was out looking at them. He goes out trapping. You know, rabbits and stuff. And while he was out there, that's when he seen this, and he seen these tracks. Well, then after about 3 days, or 5 days later, he actually had a sighting, and he was out actually last night till late with his traps and stuff, setting traps. But he was out there trying to get in the same area where he was at, trying to see if he could get a look again at the creature in the same area that he was in the couple days before. But I wanted to introduce you to him, but he didn't show up tonight. Maybe we'll have him on next week.
Bill, what part of the state was he in?
I'm trying to think of it right offhand.
Was he up in the Adirondacks?
No, what did he say? The name of the... Hold on, I'll tell you who it is. Hold on, just a couple seconds here. excuse me.
See, I haven't even gone out because I don't know if I'd be wasting my time or not. It's so cold here anyways.
I know.
Nobody's going to go for a walk, you know, 4 mile walk with the weather down below zero, you know?
No,
it's just dangerous.
Near Waterport.
Waterport? That's got to be in the western part of the state.
Yeah.
I wonder if it's the Tug Hill Plateau. Because our line of snow right now is basically what we call the, you know, up by the Watertown area. They call it the Tug Hill Plateau. In Syracuse, and there's a line where there's hardly any snow into where you cross over, and there's this lake effect. There's a ton of snow. You see snowmobiles, like here. You see snowmobiles on the thruway going towards Watertown. Where I am, you can't ride a snowmobile. There's not enough snow.
No, I understand you.
He's very lucky if he had a sighting. It does change your life. To me, it does.
Well, yeah, he was pretty excited about it, but he was not only excited, he was kind of scared, too, just like anybody would be.
I'm scared. Bill?
Yeah.
I know what's out there. I'm scared every time I go out by myself. I'm a big fella. I won't lie.
One thing that Robert mentioned when he was, and I didn't emphasize it, Robert mentioned that, you know, when he had the eye shine and was looking at the creatures, the creature went down, and it appeared like he went down to the ground to crawl, and then he would every once in a while come up and stand up type of thing. You know what I'm talking about?
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
And that is very close to what you have experienced
the
creatures being
on their belly.
Right, on their belly, and in the that very same thing. And he brought that right out. I mean, it's that's what he was talking about as well.
I never sent you that second picture, you know, that really good picture that you have.
Yeah.
The second picture is the same spot, and you can't see that anymore. The second picture right after it?
Yeah.
I should send you that because the same white tree and that little black tree, there's not, there looks like there might be something low, but you can't make it out. Look like it ducked.
Mm-hmm.
Look like it ducked. And I won't say they have a magical ability to be shapeshifters, but, you know, they do have a ghillie suit, kind of like a ghillie suit, natural ghillie suit on it.
Well, I don't know if it was a ghillie suit. It looked to me like it was matted hair.
No. I mean, even the fur, they're not made to be seen. It's like a deer. We went by a deer on one of the highways here the other day, and it was there, but you could hardly see it. It was like a gray.
Mm-hmm.
It looked like it was gray. You could hardly see it. You really had to concentrate to see it. It could probably blend in and disappear very quickly. And that's what I think these things have. With the fur, it's a broken outline, and they just have the ability to, you know, vanish if they want to. Not special, not that they have special superpowers or they're ghosts or anything. They just have that ability.
Well, I don't think they have any specific things like that. I mean, there are a lot of people who believe that. I don't believe that. But what I believe is they're very, very well oriented in camouflage with their surroundings.
And they have stealth.
They can adapt themselves very, very well in the background and everything. And they're it's amazing to me that you could be almost everybody that I talk to when they have their sighting or look at them, they're very difficult to see near or behind a tree until they actually move and come out. And then all of a sudden they're still, and they can stand still for so long. I mean,
a really long time.
And it's just like they're part of the tree or something, you know?
Bill, I've heard bipedal steps 3 times.
Mm-hmm.
And it was no great big thumping or... You know, I think the little ones are a little bit more bold than the big ones.
Mm-hmm.
And they were probably little ones, but they were definitely bipedal steps where people can't walk. My first time that I was out looking for prints, first time, I almost had a heart attack, and I yelled out, "I got you, bastards! I got you, bat!" And I just shot blindly, right? And I really didn't get nothing, but they were there. I was probably shooting too high, but I was so scared. And anybody that says in that situation, if they're by themselves, that they wouldn't be scared, they're probably lying.
Well, either lying or they're really not. They're ignorant in the fact that, you know, what they're next to.
Yeah.
I wouldn't say they're lying. I would just say that they're not aware of how much power these creatures have. Many of them are not aware how fast these creatures are.
Oh,
they're very fast.
I've seen them move.
Yeah.
Though I'm probably 2 miles from where I could get back out. And if they wanted to, they could come out of any place and take me. You know,
mm-hmm.
I know there's a lot of small ones, but there's some really big ones in there. And they seem to hang back a little bit because, you know, they stand out a little bit more.
Mm-hmm.
But they could come out on. I've had my first sighting where it went across the trail. I could not. I told Tom on the phone it was almost panther-like. It was so fast.
Mm-hmm.
You couldn't get away from them if you wanted to. If they wanted to do something, you've seen them move, right?
Yeah.
You guys.
Yeah.
You can't outrun them. And you're certainly not stronger than them. Who was it, Rocky or the Swede? If he didn't have the knife on him that night that they got the bear hug, he might have been killed.
Well, we were down to Texas when they were, the team was down there, and they were chest high in the water, and the creature was waist high in the water, or knee high in the water. That was a little bit of a surprise. The reeds were about 6 foot or more high, and the creature stood up 3 or 4 foot above the reeds. So it was a pretty big creature.
And they're
and,
so
it didn't slow it. The water didn't slow it down any.
Nope.
Of course, we were waddling along.
And they're very thick.
Yeah.
Very, very thick. The second sighting I had, it didn't look like the Patterson film, really. It was more of an athletic, what I call an athletic build.
Well, I don't know that anybody has described the creature to look like the Patterson film, to my knowledge. Most everybody says the creature looks different than that. And almost everybody, I mean, including, you know, Tom himself, when Tom's had seven different encounters, a couple of them really close, within like 2-3 feet. And a couple other guys that we know, well, you've seen that Bigfoot Lives, that one guy at the end of the movie gets knocked over.
Yeah.
Yeah, what he was doing, he had his camera in night vision type, and he was trying to find where the creature was, and he was, you know, moving the camera around, and he ran right into the creature, and it knocked him on his butt.
I think Tom believes that the Patterson film's not real.
Well, no, it's not. I mean, what we've done, Richard, here's what we've done. We've went through, and we've actually, we've done this like 5 or 6 years ago. But finally what we did is we got everybody together. We got all the people together. We have all, everybody knows Leroy Blevins. We had Leroy take a look at all the different film aspects of it. And basically what it was, a group of people, not just one or two people. It was a whole group of people. We have all their names. We know who they are. And basically they were trying to make a movie. And the movie wasn't working, so they made a little, you know, this encounter thing that they had with the Patterson-Gimlin film was the trailer to get everybody's attention. And it did. It got everybody's attention. But then it wasn't real. We know Bob Aronimus is the guy, one of the guys in the suit. There's actually two different people in the suit. Everybody in the area that he lives in knows it was Bob Aronimus and the Litmus. It was a Jim, I forgot his name. But anyway, those two people, they know. I mean, they know that.
Yeah. What they gave, what they had, is what people thought a Bigfoot, it should look like a big upright silverback gorilla. With they put breasts on it, but that's what they thought people thought they looked like.
Well, actually, the one suit wasn't the suit that, actually, there are two different suits. One suit was the suit that Philip Morris made, and we know Philip Morris very well, and he's a costume maker. And he made that costume, and he shipped it to him. He's got the receipt, the whole nine yards. I mean, what else could you?
I believed that film for years, Bill. I got.
Well, so did we. The holy grail of all films.
I remember the first time I saw it. I said, "Holy crap!"
What got Tom interested in it.
Right from the time when I was a little kid, and my grandfather told me that he was afraid of. You know, he came from the Caucasus Mountains. He was afraid of the wild man of the mountain, which I believe he thought was a Bigfoot, and Cossacks. And that was my earliest introduction to a possible creature. And to this day,
we didn't want to believe. At first, we did not want to believe that it wasn't true because that was what we we were really, really not wanting to find out the truth. But we found out the truth, and the truth was that it was not real.
It's like being told there's no Santa Claus, right?
Well, yeah, it's nothing towards there are. I mean, it doesn't mean that the creature doesn't exist. It just means that one wasn't a real creature.
You and I know they do.
Well, so do we.
we do. I mean, we agree on that. And most people listening to this show agree on it. But
Snake Man, Patterson
was a huckster, from what I understand.
Well, yeah. Well, what you got to do, I tell you what, Richard, the hoax of the century movie is the documentary we made, and that has pretty much everything in it that we found out, I mean, including the lady who made the loan, everything. It's got everything that we've put in there for 5 or 6 years, and that's a documentary on the whole thing. We're running over time here.
Yeah, I don't know where to go, but you know what, people? Tom Biscardi's videos are excellent, and they're the best works in this whole field that you could possibly get.
And well, you're going to hang on around for the end here, right?
Oh, yeah, Richard? You have a good night, Bill. I'll hang on.
Well, thanks for coming on and sharing again, and I'll be in touch with you next week.
Yeah, if you could give that guy my number, would you, Bill?
Well, I'll do that. I'm going to call him. If you want me to, I'll do that.
Please.
Okay. Thank you, Richard.
You're welcome, Bill.
Well, ladies and gentlemen, Richard from New York. And now we're going to go to our good buddy, Anthony from Anthony from Virginia, how are you, my friend?
Hello, can you hear me?
Yeah, there we go.
Yeah, I don't know what was going on here. Sorry, I think I had it muted by accident.
That's all right. It's a double mute.
Okay, I'm over here talking away. And you couldn't hear me. All right, well, hope everybody's doing well over there.
Yeah, you sent me the pictures. I've got the pictures posted. Ladies and gentlemen out there, if you go to www.bigfootlive.com and you go to what's on this week, the table of contents, what's on this week, and you'll take a look and you'll see the listing of guests. And under Anthony, you're going to see a slideshow. And in the slideshow will be a couple of pictures of a new formation in a new area, a new substation, and then one that says a tree that fell over and leaned on another tree, right?
That's right.
And then there's a footprint. And then a footprint with a boot, your boot to show the size.
That's right.
So you found some new stuff.
Yeah,
so why don't you tell us about what's going on?
Well, that one picture I took of a tree leaning on the other ones, you know, and that's just one kind of gives viewers an idea of what. Size of a tree that would need to take the fall on another, you know, to make a bend or an arch type formation. And then even if you take a good look at it, you know, it's not even an arch. It's just bent
over.
No,
it's a pretty good sized tree.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean,
so those arches, trees. When you see the tree formations that you've got, and you're looking at that, obviously there's a difference.
Well,
and how that's done, and it's significant that they're bent the way they are.
Right. There's also when you look at the new formation, you know, there are some other dynamics involved in that one. Number one, this is a new area. This is a new construction site. A new pole that was up there. New guy wires. You know, and you see it. The interesting thing about this particular arch tree is that it's, you know, towards right where there's three guy wires are, and you know, there's no tree falling on it. You know what I mean?
Right.
If it was, it would have been hitting the guy wires, you know, or it would have, you know, broke them or whatever, you know, but there's nothing there, you know. So, you know, but again, you know, it doesn't happen naturally. So.
Nope.
So, but and it's pretty, and it's fairly recent that what that formation, you know, when we took that picture, because I've been to that particular new area, new construction area, that you know, for the, you know, a few times in the past month. So, you know, so I thought that was interesting. But I will say this, and if you recall, it is not far away from that location. If you remember, you know, last year sometime, that we found that couple of deers that were just piled up.
Yeah, I remember that, the deer carcass.
Right. So it's not too far. That new formation is not too far from there. So just to give you an idea. But that's where we got that formation. But now the print that had found that, you know, it was kind of washed out, you know, because it was, you know, I mean, even the mud was still kind of soft, but you could almost, you know, if you look, zoom in on the picture, you could almost see that there might have been some toes in the front of it. But what was still impressive, although you really can't tell on that much in the picture, was the you know, kind of like the mid-tarsal break that everyone, you know, was pretty familiar with on, when they cast the print. I mean, that was, you know, quite deep, you know. It was just a smooth, I mean, it was just like, you know, it was just a smooth, but it kind of, that part of the footprint was kind of wide up, you know. And then it would, you know, it kind of...
Well, there's a significant thing, Anthony. If you had your boots on and you were stepping on the ground near that, which is the same consistency, how much of a print did your boot make?
Well, the funny thing is this, is that I don't think you could have noticed my boot print. I mean,
that's what I'm saying. How much of a footprint did your boot make?
I mean,
hardly any, right?
Yeah, hardly any. I mean,
now, how deep was that footprint? How deep was the footprint that you had?
Oh, that was, you know, a few inches deep there, you know.
Yeah. So that's what I'm saying. And a lot of people don't realize how much weight does it take to make, you know, a footprint in the mud or the dirt or the snow even, or even in the ice. You know what I'm talking about? It takes a lot. And when you try to compare, now in the snow, yeah, you can, you can take your boot and you'll make an impression. But in the ground or the mud and things that we've had experience with, it's a very difficult thing to do. And you can certainly tell the difference right away when you don't make any mark at all, and all of a sudden you've got this big 15 or 16 or 17 foot or 17 inch footprint.
Yeah.
An inch and a half thick, you know. Down in the ground, that tells you the thing weighed a little bit, huh?
Yeah, yeah, and you know, you could also tell. I mean, that thing was, you know, wider than my boot, you know.
Mm-hmm. Quite a bit wider than your boot.
Yeah, and I mean, these are, you know,
and the same thing when you looked at did you get a chance to look at Robert's footprints?
Yeah, and I was noticing that quite a stride in the snow there,
isn't it? It's
yeah.
Amazing, isn't it?
Yeah.
And if you look at one of his pictures where he's got the thing, he's got a, you know, he says he's got a number 12 boot, right? And there was a footprint of a boot on the side. And then you take a look at that footprint that he had, and it's a pretty significant difference.
Yeah, it's pretty small compared to that print.
Yep.
Yeah. So I don't know if in his particular area, I don't know, you know, man, such a long stride, either that thing was, you know, jogging or...
It don't make any difference. Anything that has a stride that big, whether it's walking or running, makes no difference. It's a pretty big stride.
Yeah, you ain't kidding. You ain't kidding.
And we've had a lot of experience. As you recall, many of our guests on the show, we've had them where the creatures went across the road in, you know, like three steps, boom, 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 gone.
Yeah.
And I mean, the road is, how wide is the road? So that tells you how big of a stride these things can have.
Well, you know, there was only one time that, you know, that I can recall hearing them walk, and it sounds exactly like what you just said, boom, boom, you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
You know, I mean, for me, the only way you could really describe it is like if you take like a, you know, if you take a boulder and you just pick it up and just throw it to the ground and you hear that thump, you know, that
thump. Thud.
Yeah, I mean, that's what it sounds like, you know.
Well, yeah, but also one of the other significant things, Anthony, is when going through the woods to brush and other things, these creatures are so quiet, but when they rustle in the brush, I mean, and we're talking thick brush. I mean, we can't even go through it. And these things are going through it like, you know, knife in a butter, hot knife in a butter. I mean, they go zoom right through it.
Oh, they you know, I firmly believe that they go through the thorns just so they can get the hairbrush, you know.
I don't know. I'm going to tell you, it amazes me sometimes.
I go through the thorns. I'm stuck for 10 minutes just trying to get out, you know. They just slide right through.
Excuse me. We've had several instances. In fact, in Pennsylvania, as a matter of fact, a lady in Pennsylvania, about a year ago, remember she was on, I don't know if you can remember, and she came on, and she had a an area where they had a lot of bamboo,
yes,
a little bamboo thicket.
Yes.
And basically she was driving by at night, and she had a visual of one of the creatures in the tree. And then the next day she went out there to take a look and snoop around, and she walked through the thicket, and she seen this opening in the bamboo, and she looked down, and about 10 feet right in front of her was a great big creature laying down. And it rolled over and got up and took off. And she almost had a heart attack.
I would think anybody would. But I'm glad she, you know, shared that experience with her.
Mm-hmm. But they, there's other animals that, you know, deer. I don't know if you know, deer are significant. I've seen deer walk, crawl, you know, on their stomach through 6 inches of grass, and you can barely see them.
Oh, yeah.
You know what I'm talking about? They can do
oh,
that.
Oh, yeah, because, I mean, there were a few substations also, and you know, there's been plenty of times that we spooked it there, but there's been some areas, you know, like in the past year or two where we've just had so many, so much bad weather that, you know, you got to prioritize and you let things go. And so the grass gets kind of tall, and there's been a few substations we've pulled up, and you know, it's kind of like right before you know, either walk or run over these creatures, they just jump up out of the grass and boom, take off.
Yeah, some of them, you know, a deer normally would jump and run, but not always. It really, I mean, when I seen it a couple of times, and when I seen it, I just couldn't believe it. I mean, that was the first time in my life I ever seen something like that. The only other time that amazed me was these doggone turtle doves were dropping white rocks in my fish pond, and I wondered why they were doing that. And they were trying to catch my fish. The white rocks were reflecting off the bottom, and they were dropping the rocks in the water, and so they could go down and catch the goldfish. They could see them.
How about that?
I know, and they were taking the stones. The stones weren't in the pond. The stones were, you know, those white rocks that you use for decorative stuff around shrubs and stuff.
Right.
Yeah, and they were taking those, and there was like 4 or 5 of them doing that. They were dive bombing and dropping the rocks, and I was wondering, what the heck are they dropping rocks for? But I mean, animals and other things can do some strange things that we just don't even realize. Well, Het, you know what? I want to thank you for coming on.
Sure.
And I'll keep in touch with you the rest of the week here. And we'll get out here and go to our buddy Swede. Thanks, Anthony. We'll be on here in a few minutes. Hey, Swede, how are you, my friend? I got to unmute you. Are you there?
Yeah, I'm here. Can you hear me?
Yeah, I got you.
Yeah, I'm doing real well, Marco. How about yourself?
I'm doing good.
Enjoying the show, listening to everybody's encounters. It's pretty been pretty entertaining and definitely exciting. I was glad to hear Christian back in there. I'm glad to hear him back in there steadily going at it.
Yeah.
Robert's encounter was awesome. That was that's one of those things that I could tell by his enthusiasm that he was he had had a good one there.
Yeah.
I hadn't had a chance to look at the photographs and stuff, but I will. I was going to let all the listeners know that Rocky is down for the count with a little illness, so he's ducking out on the show and eating chicken soup, I'm sure.
Well, what we'll do is send some little prayers out to our good old friend Rocky and wish him to be well and soon.
Well, then I'm sure that he'll appreciate that, and I'll tell him that I'll be talking with him tomorrow. We had kind of talked about, for the footnote segment there, we were going to talk about a little bit of pre-vehicle prep. You know, our deer season's fixing to, the bow season's fixing to come down to a winding end here in the first of the month in February. So we're going to be planning on getting ourselves out and about after everybody leaves the woods where we can go on past them on down there to our spot.
Now, that's just in Arkansas, right?
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
I'm thinking pretty well around Oklahoma and in Missouri, southern part of Missouri, all here up on the Ozarks is all on that time frame.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's the first week in February is the last of it. But everybody will be kind of going out of the woods, and, you know, the diehards will be the last ones in there anyway. It's already winding down, but I was going to touch base. We were going to touch base a little bit about a little bit of vehicle preparation to go out on an expedition. You know, just going to touch base on a few things that me and Rocky generally bring with us, and let all the listeners, maybe it would help them out in the future if they decided to get out. Just some basic things. You know, everybody knows to bring you some water and your self-supporting stuff, maybe some cold weather gear if it's cold, or hydration stuff if it's hot. But I was thinking we were talking more about the vehicle thing. Like we've had incidents where we've run the tire off the rim and couldn't get it beaded back up because it was half full of mud, and just all kinds of things we've had happen to us. And I know a lot of people know about that. We bring a ratchet strap or something like that. We can put around the tire and around the tread of the tire, and you can tighten that down. It'll kind of squeeze your tire up to the bead there where you can get some air in it. We make us a little package to carry with us, like the come-along, a piece of chain, you know, a couple of ropes. We never leave without the chainsaw. There's been times when we've got down in there and stayed, and then we decided to come back out, and after the wind is blown or whatever it is, there's a, you know, 16-inch tree laying across the road that you can't get over and you can't get under and you can't get around it. So
right.
It's kind of tough to get out there with your K-bar and chop through all that. So the chainsaw is pretty handy. You know, just a few things like that. You know, a thing that I always bring is rubber boots, because it seems to me like every time that we get stuck, it's the first thing you got to do is you're going to have to get out, and you're always stuck to where you're in the mud or in the water. So I generally take off my whatever it is I'm wearing for the expedition, leave them in the truck, and slip the rubber boots on. That way, when you get out, you get muddy with those on, and you can, before you get back in your truck, you can take those off and throw them in the back and go on about your business. But rubber boots, pretty major thing on my list anyway. You're going to have to hook up your tow rope, or, you know, hook up your cable, or move something out of the way, or it's just inevitable you're going to get muddy. Another thing we always bring is a little extra antifreeze, a little motor oil, some tranny fluid, if you have an automatic vehicle. Just some stuff to top off your fluids if you happen to get in a bind. It seems to me like always use up a little bit, or something will happen where you overheat it and boil a little antifreeze out or whatever, or trying to get around. You never know. It's always good to have a little bit with you. something at Rockies. We had it, both of us have had this happen two times now. A good cheap couple of bar soaps is a good thing to have in your truck box, because in Arkansas, when you get off down off in the beaten path there and you get a big sand, sharp sand rock, gouge a hole in your gas tank, a bar soap can stop that fuel from running out of it pretty quick. Just take that bar soap and cram it in that hole and just rub it around until it stops flowing, and it'll stop it off in a heartbeat. At least get you back to civilization, where you can either, you know, get it fixed or whatever you're going to do with it. Carry some extra gas too. We've been down there and had that happen and didn't know it. And look, and the half a tank is quickly on an eighth of a tank, and you're going, wow. So we always carry a little extra fuel with us, 5 gallons or so with us. So if we get in that predicament where, or if we have to, you know, you may be stuck in a spot there and working your truck overtime there for a little while, and you'll use up quite a bit of gas trying to get out. It's always nice to have a little extra fuel, and you know, of course, bring your snacks and your water and all that, because you may have to take a break and cool down, because so you don't lose your temper and smash the windows out of your car. But no, there's just a thought we would touch base a little bit about that. Rocky had some other things that he wanted to talk about and involved in that, but that was basically where we were going with for the show tonight. I know we're running over a little bit, so
no, I think you brought some good points.
I was really looking forward to the chat at the end of the show.
Well, here we go. How about that? Should we open it up?
It sounds good. I'd really like to.
Robert, you're on. Anthony, you're on. Richard, you're on. Steve, you can unmute yourself. Christian,
yeah.
You're on.
Yeah.
So, anybody got any questions for anybody?
Well, it was good to hear from Christian again. Is he planning to, you know, get some more evidence?
Yeah.
I got a question. Is raccoon soup as good as chicken soup to make you feel better?
Absolutely. You know it is, Richard. I was thinking about, I was going to go see my best buddy tomorrow, and I thought I might make him up a big batch and bring it to him, because I know that'll make him pop right out of it.
Is it like matzo ball soup?
You know what? My great-grandfather made the best matzo ball soup in the world, but it's a whole different critter, if you get my drift.
Yeah, it is.
Yeah, how are you, Richard? Anyway, you sound like you're doing real well. I'm glad to hear you in there on the show tonight.
Well, we're really suffering with the cold up here. I don't know how it is down there.
We're supposed to be down to about 12 tonight.
Yeah, that's about a little bit higher than us, but it's just nasty. I wanted to go out and take a walk, but I can't go in, you know, do a 5-mile walk in this stuff. It's just too cold.
Boy, it's
hey, Richard.
Yeah?
Remember that ghillie suit you were talking about?
Yeah.
Remember who had to put that stupid thing on and act like a nut?
Oh, yeah.
You know, that was something they were talking about, Richard, about that camouflage.
That's Steve,
suit.
Right?
That, you know, when you're talking about that camo from their hair, like a ghillie suit, that's crazy going down through the woods, because you know, from my experiences, it's there. He can be there and take about 20 steps if his stride be gone. You cannot see him in the brush. They're totally just total camo.
They're invisible, almost.
Invisible. It's amazing how
I don't think I don't think they're invisible. I just think they know how to hide. They'll get down low. They'll creep up against stuff, like you say. They'll just blend right in.
He's not literally invisible, but he's invisible to the eye that can keep track of a lot of stuff that runs through the woods. And if I could lose him that quick, it's like, wow.
Yeah.
I've seen big bucks crawl down the ditch to get around you because he knew he was in a bad spot, and he'd get down on his belly and crawl. I mean, critters are smart, but You know, this creature's got it all. He's got a whole bag of tricks, and he knows what to do with them.
Hey, William, Marco.
Yes.
Hey, that picture. Did you see that picture that I blew up to with the eyes? Do you think that's a pixel or what? That almost looks like something, doesn't it? Did you get
that
other one?
It's kind of difficult to tell, but it does look like something. Yes. The reason is, Robert, it's a very difficult thing when you're taking pictures in the dark. And
yeah, that's exactly.
Now, when you were shining that candle, that light out, you and your was it your father-in-law?
Father-in-law, yes.
Yeah. You were shining the lights out there. Now at night, your eyes could see all of that fairly, probably clear. You could see it a lot better. But the camera just doesn't pick up that well on a lot of stuff. You know what I'm talking about?
Right.
So
that's
it's a difficult thing. I was amazed that you were able to take the videos of the tracks and everything else that you did. I mean, man, it was really good. I mean, that was
I was hoping to get the game. I was hoping to get somebody out here so they can actually see it. But like I said, I mean, it just took forever for anybody to. I'm not saying you. I know. I'm not talking to you. I try to contact a few people, but
sure.
It just seemed like it took forever for any, you know, people work, so.
Well, what it is, Robert, I'll tell you, we put in like 120,000 miles a year on expeditions.
Wow.
And that's about $150,000.
Wow.
And if you can imagine the amount, now when we go, we go like, I mean, it's unbelievable. I mean, it's called pain. they go straight. They don't stop. It's a, you know, they'll drive 24 hours, take turns driving, and get there as fast as they can. And I mean, so, you know, we're used to doing that. That's how we travel and that's how we work.
Well, why I'm going to, after this, probably tomorrow, or by the weekend anyways, I'm going to buy some of those videos too, because I know, I mean, this is what you guys do, and you got to have a way of funding all that, and I understand all that stuff. I mean,
well, that's what we developed the videos for, was to fund our expeditions and things like that. And, of course, we've been reprimanded and cursed, and, you know, you're just trying to make a movie or...
there's a reason for it. I mean, they need more of Tom Biscardi's out in the world, I think.
There's some groups, if you call them. There's some groups, if you call them to make a report of sighting, you're going to hold your hand on your butt for a long time before they get to you or get back to you, believe me. I made that mistake.
Yeah, that's what I did too.
Oh, we'll call you back. Guess what? You never hear from them again. Well,
the first group I called, they actually sent somebody out, but I wasn't real impressed with him because he was complaining it was cold and his feet were cold. He really didn't even want to look at nothing, so I don't even know why he come out.
Yeah, I know.
But the second association that come out, they actually took it serious. We went down to the pond, but we were told to get out of there because that's not my property.
Right.
They said, you know, you need to get off of there, but I need to go talk to the... my wife was telling me, our neighbors up on the hill there, that's their in-law, so I'm going to go down there and talk to them and tell them we're going to study Fox or something and see if we can put game cameras down there.
You got to make up stuff. I had.
It ain't so much a ridicule. It's just people, you know, they ain't going to believe it. You know,
I actually got stopped. I parked at a spot, and I was there for hours, and I pulled away. And this woman chased me in a car. I'd pull over to go to my bank. She'd followed me into the parking lot, banged on my window, and asked me what I was doing. She thought I was stalking her. She had called the police.
But I will tell you this.
I explained to the police what I was doing.
But I will tell you this. I do not park my truck when I come home at night. I mean, because I own a trucking company. Sometimes I do local runs where I'm home every night. I can pick and go where I want to go. But when I do runs where I'm gone a night or two, when I come home at night, I do not park back there by that shed anymore. I actually open up the garage, park right there. I mean, I've seen those footprints in my yard, I mean, like you said, you don't like going out in the woods by yourself.
I don't.
So now I'm always like, because it's dark out here. Even with the porch lights on, it can be – Well, it could be standing out there, and I wouldn't even know it's there. I wouldn't even know a person was out there.
Well, let me tell you, my friend, the best footprint I ever got with toes and everything was within a half mile of my house.
Well, this was like 25 feet off the back of our house.
I'm sure that they go, we have deer. I live in a very unique place. They built that. We have green areas in our development.
Mm-hmm.
It's connected to a little stand of woods that's connected to the area that I go. It's not a big stretch for, these things can cover a lot of area at night. Where I've had my sightings is only probably 4.5 miles, 3.5 miles from my house. I'm sure it's all connected. I'm sure.
Well, the same area with us. It's farm fields, and there's deer every day. You see deer out in the fields, and there's a lot of geese. The geese, they plant corn around here, the soybeans every year. They rotate their crops, but we're right next to the fields, and then the mountains, the Appalachian Mountains, are like, I don't know, maybe 5 miles. But then you got the rolling hills. Like, I guess they call them the Blue Mountains or whatever. So that's what they were saying, that, like you said, this thing can move fast. I mean, think about it.
Oh,
it can
yeah.
come down a couple miles and go right back up if it wanted to.
Well, there's guys here that, like Steve, I think Steve, Sweet, and Rocky, they live in more or less the country. This is, where I live is 5 miles from the capital of the state of New York, from the Capitol building.
Well, I live all over. I got a motor home, so you know.
Oh,
yeah.
You live up by
stone.
You live up by Syracuse is the capital of New York, right?
No, Albany.
Albany.
Well, there you go.
Albany.
You
know,
okay,
Syracuse,
you're that one.
Actually, gets more snow than any place in the continental United States.
Yeah. Well, you said Watertown. That's north of Syracuse. I heard you say Watertown.
Yeah,
maybe it was the other guy.
It's not far. It's not that far, though.
That's a good drive.
You go up to a place called Boonville and Watertown, you think you're in Alaska. They get so much snow. And these guys all go out in their snowmobiles, and they ride from bar to bar, and, you know, it's a big deal.
But here's my question, too, because like I said, I bought that night vision. I'm trying to, the camcorder that I got, because the night vision binoculars that I bought, it come with where you can record it into a device. But I hooked it up to this camcorder and nothing's happening. So I don't know if this camcorder's capable to record off, you know, record into another device, but I'm going to go try to get a camcorder, find something, talk to somebody, figure out how to get this thing to record.
Let me ask you something, Fred.
But what happens if you do get a video of this thing, or if I get my cameras out and I get video? What next? You see what I'm saying? What next?
Well, you call Tom.
Up and we'll be headed over that way and camp out with you, and we'll take and do some research on it.
Yeah, because I'm saying, because it's like they said, it's like nobody, I mean, what do you do? You know what I'm saying?
Let me ask you something.
Marco,
do you keep your blinds open at night now?
Well, that's the thing, too, on the back of our house. Because, I mean, we're residential. We're rural residential. I mean,
yeah, that's what
there's houses around, but we're like the last. I mean, there's houses around, like the one organization. I don't want to say the name, but you know who I'm talking about, where they go out. And, they can't do that around here, I guarantee you. We'll have the cops called.
I wouldn't do
but
that.
But it is rural enough, and it is dark enough where something can walk through here. Like I say, I spotted a black bear a mile from my house. So, I mean, there is wildlife that can get down in here. We're that close to the mountain. I mean, but
I think they have no problem. I think they take great pleasure in looking into these rural houses at night, trying to look in the windows. You know, you're there.
Well, yeah, to answer your question, yeah, we do not have blinds because we are out enough where we don't have to have blinds on the kitchen window right here where the table and stuff is. Oh, yeah, it's open. But because of this, I'm thinking about getting blinds. But now that I know this thing's here, I don't want to put blinds because I'm going to try to get it to come back. And if it is hanging around the area because of the food source, I'm going to get this thing on video. Now I'm wanting this thing.
Maybe
I'm like Tom Viscardi. I want this thing now. I want to know what it is because it puts the fear. Huh?
That's how we all are.
It put the fear of God in me almost, you know, seeing that. I mean, it's just like something happened to me. Now I want to know what this thing is.
Robert,
Yes.
Did you ever watch?
I can tell you, it certainly is a life-changing experience for most
people. Well,
it is.
That's what I'm saying. Yeah.
Yeah, it is for most people that that have an encounter, and I don't know very many that kind of laugh it off very much. I'm usually fear is a good portion of it.
Well, yeah, because you know this thing's real and it's walking around out here. Like I told you when I talked to you, Marco, I don't want any publicity. I don't want that. I know, like Tom Viscardi, I've seen the video or, you know, his documentary, and I'd want somebody like that that's got the name, has the knowledge, and I know the man's been looking for it, and that's who I'd want to document this thing, to really, this thing's real, and I know he's been looking for it, and I want this thing to be known to the world myself, because people need to know this thing is for real. I'm not crazy. I don't do drugs. I don't drink. This thing is real. This was a real life thing that walked through my backyard.
And we believe you,
Robert.
You're preaching to the choir, my friend.
Hey, Robert.
Oh, I know.
I have a question for you.
Yeah.
I wanted to know if you. When you guys were down there, when you and your father-in-law were down there, fairly close there, did you have any sensation of smell? Did you smell anything?
No, we didn't smell anything because, no, we were pretty far. We didn't smell nothing, no.
I didn't know, you know, if you may have caught a whiff of something.
But that's what I told the one organization that come out. I don't know, can I say it, Bill, or no? William, or Marco, can I say it?
Oh, sure, if you'd like, sure.
Well, at the Pennsylvania Bigfoot Society, they come out, and like I told them, I mean, I don't know if this had any reference to this, but the night after Christmas, because my semi-truck was broke down, and I had to get it off the front of my road, because the township, they don't let, my truck's not supposed to be off my property, because the neighbors complain about it. But that night, I went out there about 10:30, and I smelled something real foul. Almost like a skunky smell.
Yeah.
And I've smelled skunk before, and usually you'll smell and it'll be gone, but this thing lingered. I was out there for probably, I don't know, 20 minutes, and the smell was around. And I had like a, I mean, I didn't think nothing about it. But after the footsteps, that's when I told my wife, I was like, hey, you know, the night after Christmas I was out there, I smelled something. But like I say, around here it is pitch black. I mean, something could have been standing out in that field or whatever, sitting down or watching me out there. I don't know.
Well, Robert, I'm just going to give you a little heads up there if you want. I mean, this is something that always seems to work around in multiple places across the country. I don't know if it'll work in Pennsylvania or not, but it's worth a shot. But you might take you some, you know, get you a little cheap sack of apples there and have your wife put them in the oven and bake them up a little bit, cut them in half.
Yeah.
And then take them out there and put them in a sack and tie them to a rope and hang them over something out there.
Well, I'm going to put it in front of my camera, too. Like I said, I just bought two game cameras. I was going to mess with it today, but it's just too cold. I didn't even want to get out of the house.
Oh, I hear you.
And I drove back up from Kentucky yesterday. So yesterday morning, then when I was talking to William, I thought I was through West Virginia. But I was tired, so I just stayed in the house. But I do got my game cameras. And then that night vision, like I say, that pond is down there, and I think that's just what I'm thinking. I'm thinking if it eats and it's big like that, I think it sits in there and ambushes stuff. Like if a deer comes down there, and I know those geese go down there and bed at night too. And I'm thinking this thing's smart. It stays in those reeds and it ambushes these things when they come down in there. You know, like the deer when they go down there and get their water, huh?
I wanted to ask a question. How big was that footprint again? You said earlier.
It was 16 and a half inches, and all of them were the same size. It wasn't, you know what I mean? It was clear. That's why I said I wish I could have got a hold of somebody. I was going to call the cops and have it documented. I wanted somebody else other than even my father-in-law, because he was afraid of ridicule. No, they'll think you're crazy if you call them. I said, Tom, you're seeing what I'm seeing. How do you, this is it. This ain't a hoax, man. Who would hoax the toes, huh?
Robert,
you would be surprised, Robert. Don't take offense when people say that they don't believe you or any of that. So don't take offense to it. That's kind of the common thing that happens to everybody.
People that see UFOs.
Yeah.
And I told you, I'm a truck driver, so I'd go, like, this has been on my mind after this happened. Like, every day, that's all I think about or thought about was those
cats. Well, I know. We call it the Bigfoot bug.
Right, but then I would go to, like, my shipper.
You get a little head-shaking smile, and they look at you.
But I would go to my shippers. I would go to my shippers and receivers, and I go to different places every day. I don't do the same place, but I would be like to another truck driver, sitting there getting unloaded or whatever. And they don't know me. They didn't know where I live. But I'd be like, "Hey," I said, "Do you hunt, or you know, have you ever seen?" Because my neighbor behind me, I went and grabbed him too. Because when he first come down, he was like, "Oh, very interesting." But then I could tell maybe he was scared. He was like, "Oh, that's a fox track." But then he's like, yeah, that's what he said.
I'd hate to have him see me on the side of the road.
But they don't want to believe it. But anyways, I'm at these shippers and receivers and, you know, these truck drivers. And that was my question, you know, to get the conversation going was, "Hey, are you a hunter?" Some of them were, some of them weren't. I said, "Hey, my neighbor thinks this is a fox track." And then I'd show them. And their reactions were, "Holy shit. Are you, what?" And then the one guy was like, "I hate to tell you what that is," you know what I mean? So I never had anybody say that. Everybody knew, and every word that came out of people's mouth was Bigfoot. That was every word. You got a Bigfoot around you.
Yep.
That was everybody's word. But anyways, that pond, that's why I know you, when I was talking to you earlier, Marco, when I went out there on my back porch, because we're kind of like on a hill, and you can look down into that field, when I hit it with that spotlight, it was dumb luck.
Sure.
It was just dumb luck.
Hey, Marco, he needed me there. You want to give him my stats?
But I guarantee you, nobody would have walked in those reeds because it was real. I don't care who you are. You weren't going to walk in those reeds. I even told my dad. My dad was like, "Oh, I would have went in there." I was like, "Yeah, right.
Yeah,
you
right.
Went in the freaking."
Well, Robert, the reason Steve was doing that, well, we call Steve the gentle giant. He's 7'4".
Really?
Yeah, he's 7'4". Yeah, he stands above everybody else pretty much.
You put him in the right suit, he looks kind of close, you know.
I always said that too.
You guys were talking about that Patterson, so I always thought it didn't look. I mean, I don't know. I don't think it's real. That's like
no,
these
no.
toes, like you see, like the cats that got the perfect toes and stuff. I don't believe them. I mean, this thing here, you can clearly see it. I mean, unless it's got a deformed foot.
Well, it very well could have a deformed foot. We've had many prints, a lot of prints. We've had one with toes missing.
Yeah, I have one.
Oh, no shit.
Oh, yeah. And we've had another one. It's called the club foot. That's one of the most famous ones. Dehendron and the whole—I mean, the real old Bigfoot guys that are out there. Tom
got
actually
a three-toed one.
Yeah, three-toed.
I had a print with a elongated big toe on one of the feet,
and
it went out like 3 inches farther.
And the other thing, Robert, the other thing
is
there's, you know, there's not just one species of these creatures. There's several different species. We call them all Bigfoot because we don't know what else to call them.
Right.
But they're different. They're different anatomically. They're different DNA-wise. But each one's kind of, you know, a different kind of a creature, right? But they're the same. They walk on 2 feet. And so it's a lot of mystery.
But honestly, what I'm worried about now is that kid that was on there earlier. Now, I'm surprised nobody's been out there, you know what I mean? Has he seen any footprints? Because if this thing, I mean, I'm sure he's got to be scared, you know what I mean?
Well, he actually, about two months ago, he started, he first seen it the first time, and he was coming from his grandma's house to his house, and he ran. I mean, he seen this thing, and he just ran, and he was out of breath.
Has anybody been out there to investigate him yet? Has anybody been out there to, you know what I mean?
No, nobody's been out there, but he's been doing a lot of different things. We've been giving him a lot of advice of what to do and things. I myself have seen
these things about 11 times, and I see them in the woods. I never run. I just keep walking. I figure I'm too old to run anymore. If they want me bad enough, they'll get me.
Right. I don't think they attack people, though. I could tell it didn't want no. It was like the light, like I say, when I first hit it, it started running towards the light. Like it didn't know what it was. It was wanting it out of its face. You know what I mean?
Yeah,
I don't know.
They don't like light at all.
Well, everybody, it's we're way over time, but that's okay. We enjoyed it. We've had a great time tonight. I want to thank all of you for coming on and sharing your experiences with us tonight. And we're going to keep you in our Robert. You're part of our Bigfoot family now. I'll keep in touch with you. You can call me anytime.
Great.
Anytime, and we'll keep in touch with everybody else out there. Christian, thank you for coming on. I think Christian probably had to get off. Yep, he's got to get up tomorrow for school.
I was going to tell him it's okay if you take a little nap every now and then.
Well, thank you, everybody, for coming on, and we'll see everybody next week. And we'll keep Bigfooting and keep the Bigfoot going.
Good night, Anthony. Good night, Richard.
All right.
Good night, guys.
See you guys.
Good night, Steve.
Everybody. Night, everybody.
Good night, John
good
boy.
Night, Steve. Good night, Rob. Good night, guys.
All right.
Good night, everybody.
Guys. Bye.
Hey, nice. Stay out
nice
of the cold.
Nice to meet you, Robert.
All right, you too. Thank
you,
same here.
Well, folks, once again, it's time to say so long. We'd like to thank Mr. Tom Biscardi and his guests and the Bigfoot team for joining us, and we'd especially like to thank you, our listeners, for tuning in. This is Marco Bill saying see you next Wednesday evening for some more Bigfoot Live radio show entertainment with Mr. Tom Biscardi and his team. And until then, keep the Bigfoot live and keep Bigfooting. See you next week.
Three men with a gold and a pact that they'd hold and a promise till the day that they died. Answers to the questions no one's found before. Driving determination, the only key they had to unlock the door. Monsters, mystery, legend, terror.